We are studying the book of Acts. This is Luke's second volume of what Jesus did and taught. And Jesus began this book by saying that once the Spirit empowered them, his disciples would be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And the first seven chapters were all about the witness in Jerusalem, the Pentecost and the healings that were done by the apostles there, and the preaching and the generosity of the church until the martyrdom of Stephen. And then persecution scattered the disciples to Judea and Samaria. And so here we are with Philip, who at the beginning of this chapter preached to the Samaritans, and that they believed, and the apostles laid on their hands, and they received the Holy Spirit. And then we come to this, a latter portion of Philip's ministry. Philip's ministry, where we meet the Ethiopian eunuch. And so I'll be reading Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 26. Brothers and sisters, God has spoken to us. He's spoken to us in words taught by the Spirit. And so let us hear him as I now read from his holy and inerrant word. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. For who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Let's pray. Gracious God, we need your word. Lord, even as a deer pants for water. And so, Lord, we need your presence. We need you to send your Spirit to help us to understand this. For, Lord, your word gives light. And aside from your word, we would be in utter and devastating darkness. And so, Lord, meet with your people now. Teach us what you have said. Apply it not just to our minds, but to our hearts. Lord, bring our whole souls to serve you aright, to see you where you are, and to be brought into your very presence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What might be preventing you from serving God wholeheartedly? I know this is a deeply personal question. It's personal because it touches on the idols that tug at our hearts. Perhaps you're a Christian, but your desire for riches and power make it hard for you to be humble and not self-serving when push comes to shove. Perhaps you're a Christian, but there are cultural practices or family expectations that either take away your focus from Jesus or they're just wrong in themselves. Or perhaps you're a Christian. You think you're a Christian. But you just find that there's just this brick wall when you're praying, and you just don't know if you have access to God. You feel guilt for your sins. What is it that's holding you back from serving God? Or perhaps you're not a Christian and you wonder why any of this should matter. Why is there this guy up front preaching? Why all this rigmarole? You're just trying to be a good person and live your life. But the truth is, you need Jesus. And you need him with your whole being. You can't be double-minded about him. Not just because of what he can do for you, but because of who he is and what he is doing in this world. But you won't give him any of yourself if you don't have the Spirit. The Spirit brings you to him. And if we live by the Spirit, then let us all walk by the Spirit. And so the question before all of us this morning is, what's preventing you from following the Spirit to Jesus? What's preventing you from following the Spirit to Jesus? Now first, let's see in our passage this morning that Philip... Philip the Evangelist, as we understand him to be, he followed the Spirit's leading. Verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and went." If you skip forward to verse 29, "And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.'" So just as Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted in the wilderness, so we see the guidance of the Holy Spirit here, first through an angel and then directly through the Spirit here in the ministry of Philip. Now, this reminds us that when we see the work of the Spirit in the book of Acts, he should always remind us of Jesus, because the Spirit was so integral to Jesus' ministry. For instance, we can look at Luke chapter 4. Again, Luke is the first part of this two-part volume. What did the Holy Spirit do in the Gospel of Luke? That should instruct us in how we see the Holy Spirit working in the book of Acts. Well, in the Gospel of Luke, the Holy Spirit's all about doing and helping Jesus. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, anointed with the Spirit beyond measure. He came in the power of the Spirit. He fulfilled the scripture which said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And the Apostle Paul notes that when Jesus was raised from the dead, he was vindicated by the Spirit. 1 Timothy 3:16. Ever since Christ has come, the Spirit comes to us then, not just as naked divinity. He is known to us as, the Apostle Paul calls him again, "The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead," Romans 8. The Spirit of Christ. He comes to us as the Spirit who has been intimate with Christ, who is an integral to his work, who empowered him in his life, and who raised him from the dead. Now, I'm just pointing this out to you because the book of Acts is not just about the Spirit. Some have erroneously thought that the Old Testament, that seems like it's about the Father. The Gospels, they seem to be like they're about Jesus. The book of Acts and then all the history of the church since then, that seems to be about the Spirit. You know, we're in the age of the Spirit. But friends, we can't dichotomize the Scriptures in this way. The Scriptures themselves won't let us. Because the Spirit always points us to Christ. If you have been given life by the Spirit, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. If you are filled with the Spirit, you love Christ. And if you are walking in the Spirit, you are obeying Christ. In a similar way, Christ always brings us, presents us, and reconciles us with the Father. Whoever has the Son has the Father. So I'm telling you that whoever has the Spirit has the Son. And so when we read at the end of this passage that the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, that's not a reason just to be wowed by the Spirit. It's reason to praise the triune God. Jesus is fulfilling his mission. The Father is being glorified in the Son, and the Spirit is drawing us to praise both. All the Godhead is involved in our salvation. All the Godhead is to be praised by us. And so we are to follow the Spirit's leading too. Having studied through the book of Acts thus far, I hope we are all a bit more cognizant of how important Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, is to the church, not just then, but today. We, dear brothers and sisters, have been connected to that same Holy Spirit as we are connected to that same Jesus Christ. And therefore, if you then want someone to be filled with the Spirit, what do? Well, you preach Christ to them. If you want to follow the Spirit's leading, you follow Christ. The Spirit leads us where Christ bids us go, for Christ and the Spirit always agree. And as the Spirit led Philip to be a witness, let us be aware, let's pray to be aware of the opportunities that the Spirit is leading us to be that which Christ has appointed us to be, witnesses insofar as we get to share what has been revealed of Christ in the Scriptures. We get to share of what Christ has done, not only in our lives, but what he's doing in all the world. Now let us consider where the Spirit led Philip then, or rather to whom the Spirit led him. This Ethiopian eunuch, there's much to notice about this man. It's really amazing that Philip should encounter someone this unique, and so we'll actually spend a time looking at each detail, and I'm not even going to be able to finish it all in one sermon. Yeah, we're going to have to come back to this passage next week, and we'll be looking a bit more at the content of this passage that the Ethiopian eunuch is reading from Isaiah. We'll look at that next week. And following that, I hope to begin a series through Isaiah as a book. We'll take a break from Acts. I'm getting aside from the point. This week, we're going to look at this Ethiopian eunuch, some things about him that are amazing in a way, and yet really, they just point us to how amazing our God is and what he's doing and pointing out here in this passage. And so first, let's look at his Ethiopian-ness. He, that is Philip, was led to an Ethiopian man. How amazing. Some things to notice here. He was and is called here an Ethiopian. That's that's the same geographic location as we read in the Old Testament, the land of Cush, the Cushites. He's a Cushite. He's not just an exile, a Jewish exile, who happens to live in Ethiopia. He is an Ethiopian. He would have, dark skin like the Ethiopians would. He's Ethiopian, flesh and blood. He is a non-Jew. Now, he was a God-fearer, and let's not forget that point, for he had come from Jerusalem to worship and was returning. Now, he would have been, as he went to Jerusalem, I mean, that's the place that you came in if you were a Jew or if you believed in the Jewish God. But even having come in, he would have been prevented from entering all but the outermost of the temple courts because he was not a Jew. In fact, archaeologists have unearthed a sign that had once hung on the fence that stood in one of the temple courts, and it divided the inner sections from this outer section. And this sign that they've unearthed said basically to all uncircumcised people, if you cross this fence, you'll be to blame for your death, which will immediately follow. Now, if you want to talk about a seeker-sensitive church, this is the opposite. But even being thus separated from God's worship, it's amazing that this man was nevertheless drawn to him. He had gone up to Jerusalem to worship the true God. Although he really, is that amazing about him, or is that really telling us again how amazing God is? It's not amazing that someone would be drawn to him when we really consider this is the one and true God. He is who we know him to be from the Scriptures. And so this man, an Ethiopian, but where was Ethiopia or Cush or this land? Because I think we want to put in our political boundaries and our understanding of that term. If you point on a globe today, this must be exactly where he's from. Well, not quite. In historical context, he was from the Nubian kingdom, whose queen was Candace. Her name is mentioned here. This was located in present-day Sudan, or South Sudan, if you actually wanted a spot on a globe to point at. And in Greco-Roman thinking, his homeland was like the end of the world. There was this part of Africa, and everything beyond it was just the outermost limits of the known world at this time. And so this Spirit-led, Christ-appointed meeting of Philip with this Ethiopian then raises for us some questions. Because Jesus' outline for the ministry of the Spirit-filled church, you know, that outline that we've been talking about in the first chapter of the book of Acts, that outline was that they were to be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so the first question is, why now? I mean, here we have someone from the ends of the earth and they're being taught the gospel now. Why now? I mean, there were seven chapters in Jerusalem. And there's only a verse that says that they were scattered to Judea and half a chapter in Samaria, and we're already witnessing to a man from the ends of the earth? I mean, isn't this kind of quick? Are we getting ahead of ourselves? Or worse, are we getting ahead of Jesus' own schedule that he had set out? Well, friends, the Spirit always agrees with Christ. And so the Spirit here is leading us to understand what Jesus meant. I think we often assume some kind of waterfall project management with benchmarks and timetables for the life of the church. You know, it goes like this. You know, as soon as we're done preaching to every person in Jerusalem, and every person in Jerusalem is converted, and then we can go on to Judea. And as soon as Judea is full, then Samaria. And as soon as Samaria is fully mature, then and only then do we move on to the ends of the earth. Sounds like a business proposal. You know, we got it figured out. And yet, that's not the way that this is happening, because that's not the way Jesus intended it. And yet, similarly, can we not have such mindsets ourselves? You know, as soon as everybody in my family is a professing believer, then I'll share the gospel with my neighbors. Or as soon as the church is over 100 members, then we'll start thinking about doddering a church plant. Or as soon as I've got all my sins under control, then I'll be ready to be a witness for Jesus. Do you ever think things like that? Well, friends, the Holy Spirit led Philip to this Ethiopian so that we would know that even in our weaknesses and immaturity and imperfections, he would have us be witnesses to him, to whoever the Holy Spirit would lead us to. And also that Jesus is building his church. He's able to do far more than we could ask or think. He's able to grow that church that's been scattered in Jerusalem, he's able to let that continue on with just the apostles there. And he's able to, at the same time, be having some witnesses in Judea and Samaria, and at the same time, be witnessing to the ends of the earth. He's able to do all things well. And so we should not be afraid that he's going to be overworked or that his resources are going to run short. Even as he would have us expend ourselves for the gospel, we do so in his strength. We can trust him. We can follow him to his glory. And yet this raises a second question, doesn't it? A witness is to whom? This may not be a question that you thought originally, but this would have been a very important question for the early church, because they didn't have the rest of the book of Acts yet. They were living it out. They were trying to follow Jesus' commands, and they had been, you remember, geographic. Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That could be interpreted two ways. You see, at that time, there were Jews living in all those lands. Maybe not Samaria as much, but Jewish cousins, we might say, living there. And there were Jews that were spread all to the ends of the earth. In fact, we saw that back in at Pentecost. There were people that were in for the festival, the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, and all those other nations that were mentioned. Those weren't just God-fearers like this Ethiopian eunuch. Those were Jews in for the feast. Well, probably also some God-fearers as well. And so someone could legitimately have thought up to this point that really what Jesus was telling us, hey, the mission of the church is to be witnesses to Christ to all the Jews in Jerusalem, and to all the Jews in Judea, and all the Jews in Samaria, and then all the Jews to the ends of the earth. That's the scope of Jesus' mission. But you know what? The Holy Spirit says no. By leading Philip to this man, this Ethiopian eunuch. The Holy Spirit is telling us what Jesus meant was not just you're going to go and you're going to be witnesses to Christ to the Jews. You are going to be witnesses to Christ to every nation under heaven. The fact that this man is an Ethiopian and he is having the gospel shared with him and that he is receiving Christian baptism sets it in stone for us. Jesus is a Savior, not just for Jews, but for every tribe, nation, and tongue. And dear brother and sister in this room, this should make our hearts rejoice. Because that means that the gospel is for us. You who are not Jews by birth can have the gospel preached to you. And you can be baptized into Christ. In fact, the Holy Spirit has attested to this fact before. In fact, we sang these psalms already. I've talked to people who said, well, why would, you know, I mentioned we sing the psalms here, and they say, well, why would you sing a psalm that's so exclusive to Judaism? And I say, have you ever read the psalms? Psalms have this view of the it is the gospel, this view of the kingdom of God extending and going on out to the nations. That was always the hope of God's people as they sang praises to God. It's our hope today. So Psalm 68:31, nobles shall come from Egypt. Cush shall hasten to stretch out her hands to God. Cush, this Ethiopian would pray to God. Psalm 87, verse 4, among those who know me, I mention Rahab and Babylon. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Cush, the Ethiopia. This one was born there, they say. That is, the Cushites would be worshiping the living God. They would be counted as sons of Zion. And even more explicitly, the Holy Spirit connected this coming of the nations with the ministry of Jesus himself. In Isaiah, and it's not unimportant that I'm telling you that this passage is found in Isaiah. Isaiah 11, which I read earlier for you. It's so explicit about Christ, but it's also mentioning this coming and drawing of the nations. Let me point it out for you again. Isaiah chapter 11, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. That is, you know, Jesse being David's father, this would be someone who's of the lineage of David. Jesus Christ being that son. A branch from his root shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The same thing we've been talking about. The Spirit has been empowering Christ in his ministry, such that the Spirit is integral and always points us to him. And then we go to verse 10. Of him, speaking of this root, speaking of this Savior, speaking of this Christ, of him shall the nations inquire. In that day, the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that remains of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamat, and from the coastlands to the sea, to the ends of the earth, we might say. A prophet, Isaiah, had said that because that when Jesus would come, and that, friends, we should understand that now Jesus has come, the nations now come to inquire of him. Even those nations of Cush, even this Ethiopian eunuch. Believing these words of the Old Testament, missionaries, even from our denomination and others, went to what is now South Africa, or sorry, South Sudan, to preach the gospel to today's Cushites, the people living today. Today we have brothers and sisters from the Dinka people who worship God in a whale and in the communities surrounding it. Because Jesus has come, the Spirit leads all people from all tribes, nations, and tongues to serve him. Even us. Praise him. And so we look at the fact that this man was an Ethiopian. We praise God. How amazing. But we also need to notice another detail here. This man was a eunuch. How amazing is that? He was a eunuch. He is unable to reproduce or to be intimate with a woman. Jesus reminds us, Matthew 19:12, that there are eunuchs who have been so from birth, and there are those who were made such by men. That means that this man either has a birth defect or was forcefully mutilated And this man, it was a eunuch in the court of the Nubian queen. And eunuchs were in such service because they wouldn't try anything. And you might well feel sorry for this man. But the fact that he was a eunuch affected much more than his personal life. It affected his religious life. Deuteronomy 23, verse 1, which I read earlier for you, it said that no one whose testicles are crushed or whose male organ is cut off shall enter the assembly of the Lord. That means that as we're considering this man, he was twice prohibited from entering the temple. He was an uncircumcised Ethiopian and he was a eunuch. Now, why would God have such a prohibition? Well, perhaps it had something to do with a covenant sign that God had given, circumcision. Such a deformity would make that void, that covenant mark. This man couldn't be circumcised because of his physical body was broken in this particular way. Or perhaps it had to do with a covenant promise of a son, an heir to the line of Abraham through Isaac. If you were unable to reproduce, you were unable to bear that heir. Or perhaps, this is where we should come to. Perhaps the simple truth is that God is holy. And he makes his rules about who had access to him and who didn't. He set the rules about which lambs would be acceptable for sacrifice and which ones wouldn't. And so nothing important. Imperfect could enter his presence because he is holy. And so we don't need to speculate here. This man was prevented from entering the assembly by none other than God himself. Which is another reason this is an amazing individual for the Spirit to lead Philip to. He didn't even have access to God. But nevertheless, he had gone up to worship him. But again, as God is the amazing triune God who is worthy of our worship, that should not amaze us. Because it's not just that the Spirit led Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch. That same Spirit has been leading the Ethiopian eunuch to himself. For the coming of Christ would mean something not just for foreigners, but for eunuchs as well. The Holy Spirit had inspired also these words again in the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 56:3, let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Friends, God had promised that the foreigner would be no longer separated. God had even promised that the eunuch who he said couldn't enter the assembly, that the eunuch would be given a promise better than children, the children which he could not have in his natural body. And this promise that God had given would not be cut off. And so, given that these things were prophesied in the book of Isaiah, both the nations coming to inquire of the Messiah, and also these promises to the eunuch, is it any surprise then that this man is reading the book Isaiah? He, hearing these promises which speak so explicitly to his own hardships and alienation from God, don't you think he'd be poring over every page to see how it applied to him? Friends, are you poring over the pages of Scripture? Because some of these promises apply to you. That you are from those nations that were enemies of God's people, were enemies of God. And you've been brought to Him. Why? What did the Scriptures say? Because of Christ. Do you see how the Spirit works through the Word? The Spirit has led this man to be reading Isaiah at the particular verses which speak so clearly of Jesus' death on the cross as our sacrificial lamb. And so Philip just follows the Spirit's leading. He preaches the good news of Jesus to to this Ethiopian eunuch. Jesus was like a sheep led to slaughter. And he went in that way that he might bear our iniquities. He did so that those in slavery to sin might be set free. He did so that the foreigner might be brought near. He did so that the eunuch might receive him, and in receiving him have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. The wall that even God himself had once erected would come down. There would then be, because the Messiah had come, free, uninhibited access to God. The Spirit led Philip to preach Jesus. And the Spirit led this man to believe in Jesus. And did you catch his response? He said, "What prevents me from being baptized?" What prevents me? This man had been to Jerusalem and been prevented from crossing the fence because of his Ethiopian-ness. He had been there to worship the one true God and been prevented from entering the assembly because of his eunuch-ness. But Jesus has come. Praise the Lord for the good news. The one the Spirit foretold in the prophets has come. The one in whom are all blessings and life itself has come. And there was nothing preventing him from being baptized into him. And so they went down into the water, the both of them. And probably what happened is similar to when John the Baptist was baptizing Jesus or the crowds. Perhaps there was a pitcher. He took the water and he poured it over him, baptizing him. This great mark of entering the covenant was given to this Ethiopian, this eunuch. Dear Christian, is there something inhibiting you from worship, from serving God? Do you feel that there is some black wall or some great hindrance to your prayers reaching heaven? Well, beloved, if there's sin, we have a sacrifice for sins. Repent. Confess your sins and be cleansed and forgiven. And have that access to God. And you know what can be is often we feel that there's this great hindrance to God, but in truth, our feelings are not a reliable depiction of reality. You need to believe the Word. Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man, has come. And He is now before our Heavenly Father. And He is now our mediator before our Father. And He brings us there. And this is truth. This is the Word of God. This is what He tells you is real. Believe Him. Believe Him. Believe in this Savior. Believe in this Mediator. Believe in this one to whom the nations would come and inquire. And yet, perhaps there is this big hurdle, this big burden, this big black hole because you don't yet know this Christ. You've been around Christians, you've been around Christianity. But do you know Jesus Christ, who is this promised one? Do you know Him as the one who bids you come? Come with me to the Father. I will take you to Him. I will wrap you in my righteousness. I will give you my holiness that you might be holy and you would come with me. Come with me to my Father. Come into my Father's house. He bids you come. So don't delay. Repent. Believe. Because the Spirit leads us to Christ. May the Spirit lead you to Him today. What's preventing you from following the Spirit to Jesus? For all of us, may it be, there's nothing preventing me. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for Jesus Christ, the Lamb led to be slaughtered for our sins, that we who were far off might be brought near to you, O God. That this reality would be taught to us and preached to us, even as you had Philip teach this Ethiopian, so you have taught us by your word, by your apostles. So you lead us by your Spirit to trust in him. And so, Lord, may there be none in this room who would presume to be in your presence without this mediator, without Jesus Christ. Lord, take us to the Father. Lord, bring us by your mighty hand as our shepherd. And Lord, be glorified in saving all your elect. Lord, thank you for the Spirit who brings us to Christ. Thank you for Christ who brings us into your very presence, Father. Thank you for yourself, for giving of yourself, for revealing yourself, for being with us in him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.